a programming note. Can we give a quick programming note? Sure. I was supposed to be here all week for Nick, which I have been looking forward to. Now, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I will not be here tomorrow because Thursday, I've actually been cast in a television program, Esmeralda.
Oh, my.
Oh, that's right.
Superstar.
Well, sure. I'm doing an NBC episodic. And you know how they say there's no small parts, only small actors? That's not true. There are. I am a very large actor, and there are small parts. But it is a... people, you know, I told some people that I got this, and it's exciting. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm happy to be doing it. But it's the weirdest process to get cast in anything, whether it's a commercial, a TV show, a film, whatever it is. And I, you know, when I was living in L.A. and much heavier, I did a few different things. I did some sitcoms and I did some commercials. But since I've lost the weight, I haven't been cast in anything. I've been very, very close. Because it's a process. You get, you know, my agent has my headshots, and they work hard with the casting people submitting me. And when the casting person sees, you know, sees that you fit a certain part, the breakdowns come out, and they say, we're looking for this character. He is a man, 45 to 60. He is blah 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 blah. And the casting director looks at your picture and looks at your resume and goes, yeah, all right, let's bring this guy in. So you go in and auditioning. I don't care. And Nick's talked to a million actors, and I'm sure they all say the same thing. Auditioning is awful because you're waiting in this room with a bunch of people who look just like you. No matter how unique you are, I guarantee you, if you go to a casting session, there's a million people like you. When I first got to L.A., I thought, well, I'm a fat Midwestern guy. I am the most unique creature on the planet. Then I go to my first audition. There's 57 fat guys. And that we all look the same. Maybe our hair is a little different, but basically, it's a bunch of sweaty, jowly, round guys. And I'm like, boy, I'm not that special at all. I'm just another guy. So you go, you're in this waiting room, and nobody, you know, you may exchange some pleasantries if you know another person, but there's not a lot of camaraderie or chit chatty because let's be honest, we're all going for the same thing, and you may be my friend. But that's my car payment, you know? So there's that kind of edge. It's that, not fake niceness, but very, you know, arm's length niceness. Then they call you in to this room, and, I'll tell the rest of the story, the whole process on the other side. Because we have to do this, then it's news time, so we'll do this first. It's Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio. That's right. Here all week, except for tomorrow. I was going to be here tomorrow. We had things all lined up. We had guests already. We're going to move. We moved some of them to Saturday. Mark Carman will be here with you tomorrow because as I mentioned before, I got cast in a TV show. That sounds glamorous, and it's, you know, it's cool. I'm not going to lie. I called Debbie when I got the news today, so I wake up. This is a nice way to wake up. After getting home, after being terrified by a rat, then I get home, I go to bed, I wake up, and I get this news from my agent. Hey, guess what? You booked this part, which is very nice. But immediately, you know, here's a glimpse inside the bat hotel that is my head. I'm like, oh, no, I got to quick call the boss and see if I can tell her I can't work tomorrow night on Nick's show. Then I got to do this and this. Instead of taking a minute and just being grateful and being excited, I immediately start looking at all the things that are going to make this a hassle. And then I start to downplay it a little bit, you know, because it's not a big part. It's nice. It's great. But I was talking about the audition process because, as I mentioned, I know Nick has talked to people. And Nick, you know, Nick, having been a director, has had to sit in and audition people. And it's just a dehumanizing process. And I know everybody's going, boo-hoo, you chose it? Yeah, I know. It's not like going out and breaking rocks for a living. But imagine walking into a room filled with strangers and them judging you immediately, whether you're good enough or not, based sometimes solely on your looks, sometimes on your looks and how you deliver said lines. You never know what they're judging you for. So the process is usually you get called into audition, and you walk in, as I mentioned, you walk into this room, and there's usually a casting assistant running the video camera. There's a casting person who is going to read the lines with you, you know, so you don't have to look like a lunatic and just do one side of a conversation. That's right, Bob, and that's what I told her. What do you mean I need to get off my horse? This just would sound dumb. Plus, you don't have, you don't want to dress like you're in a costume, but you want to dress to kind of give the idea of the part you're playing. You don't have props. It's a whole crazy deal. So you do the audition. Then, if you're lucky enough, you get a call back. And that means, they cut some of the folks, and they've got, you know, now it's a smaller pool. So they're going to judge you a second time. So now, usually you go in for the callback, and this time the casting director might be there. You know, the first time it might have been their assistant or somebody. Now it's the casting director. So you do the same thing over again. Do you wear the same clothes? Oh, yeah, you do, because you have to remember what you wore. And sometimes the callback isn't for a week, so you better make sure you didn't get a haircut. You better, you know, it's like until you realize you're not getting that callback, you've got to keep everything the same.
Right, because I had heard an old acting story is that, male actors will all usually keep a beard, because if the part calls for a beard,
right,
you need to have a beard. And so,
beard.
You know, and then if you get a part that requires you not to have a beard, you can just shave it, whereas you can't regrow a beard in, you know, 2 hours.
Can't regrow a beard, you can't regrow your hair. So here's how crazy I am. This is a sidebar to the story. Last week I get called in for this. Well, I bypassed the first two steps. So now I'm just going to the final step is when they call you in for producers. So at this step, you walk in and there's the camera person. There's the person who's going to read with you. There's the casting director. There's a producer for the show. And then there's the director. Sometimes there's a couple producers. I've walked in where there have been like two banquet tables all with people. Now you're standing. You know when they come into American Idol and the three judges are sitting there? Multiply that by two or sometimes three. And all these people are staring at you and you're in this room. And now sometimes the director will ask you a question or the producer will ask you something or the director will give you a little, you know, okay, when you do it, try to do it like this. So you do your thing. And, you know, some auditions are a little longer than others because you might have some more lines. You're doing a whole scene. And you do it. And then you wait for a beat, and they always say the same thing. That was great. That was great. And sometimes they'll say, can you do it this way? Try it a different way. And I'm always thinking, oh, now they want to see if I can take direction. Sure, I can. I can do it however you want. So you do it again, and this is where it gets confusing, because sometimes they'll be like, that was fantastic. And they're so effusive with their praise, and you think to yourself, man, oh, man, clear a space on the bookshelf. The Emmy is coming. This is going to be fantastic. I can't wait. I'm going to have a big trailer, and I'm going to start making unreasonable demands. You know, my roast beef has to have no pink in it. I need just green M&Ms. I need small people to follow me around with fans. All of these things that I have dreamt when I finally get to that point I could be, that's all running through your mind until you don't get the part. Then you realize that. So after that, then you're at the point where you either hear something or you don't. And by hear something, they do what they call put you on avails. So my agent calls me, and says, all right, you're on avails. They want to know if you have any conflicts of the shoot dates. Oh, no. You always say no, even if you do have a conflict. Like, technically, I was working the next couple nights. So technically, that's a conflict. But also, it's overnight, so it wasn't really a conflict. Plus, I never, you know, do you ever really think you're going to get the part? Nah, yeah, not really. Only because history tells you that every time you think you've got something, it doesn't come. As an example of that, last May, I go in for another NBC episodic. This was for a big part. This was for a recurring part. And I was like, ooh, but I'm teaching second grade at this point. So I'm like, oh, no, what am I going to do? Well, I talked to the office. Long story short, I leave for about an hour and a half. I go and I audition. By the time I get back to school, you got a call back. It's tomorrow. oh no, I talked to the office again. I got to go to this. That's oh, they're so excited. Yes, go. I go. I do the callback. Now, this callback was with producers and everybody. And again, this is for a big part. I'm like, oh man, this is it. This is it. Find me the guys with the fans because it's all happening now. I get back. By the time I get back to school, I have an email. You're on avails. I'm like, oh, this is it, Dan. This is, you'll never see me again. You'll see me, you know where you'll see me? Behind a phalanx of security. That's the only way you're going to see me. And I did say phalanx. This is a Thursday. The show is supposed to start shooting the next Thursday. On Monday, I get a call from my agent. They want to know if you can start a day early. You bet. Of course I can. I'd be a fool to say no. So I tell them, sure, I can start a day early. You think at that point I have the part, don't you? Sure you do. Any rational human being would think you had the part. They've asked if you could start a day early. Why would they ask if you could start a day early if they weren't going to hire you? That's a question I'm still trying to figure out. Didn't get that part. I call my agent. You know, it's Thursday now. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? Oh, didn't we tell you they released you? No, you didn't tell me. Thanks. Have a good day. Click. Go to the mirror. Look at yourself. Fill yourself with self-loathing. Move on. Anyway, that didn't happen this time. So I go on avails. And I get the call and the email today that I get this part. And now tomorrow I go and I do my, you know, I get an email from the costume person this afternoon. Hey, give us all these sizes. What's your height? What's your weight? What's your sign? You know, preference in footwear, all this stuff. So I give them all the information and tomorrow I go in and they fit me for, costumes. And I don't know what the costume's going to be. I'm supposed to be this, Irish crony of a dead guy giving a toast at a memorial service.
Like a new Irish?
Well,
or
like
an old-timey Irish?
Well, not like 1840s Irish, yeah. Like current-day Irish.
I'm thinking like you wear one of those hats, have a vest on.
Sure, a leprechaun suit. I'm standing on a pot of gold. Woo, it's fantastic. I can't believe it. Let's raise a glass. I didn't have to do an accent at the audition, but obviously I could have. If they were looking for an oversized leprechaun that was going to do the part, I would have been the man for the job. So yeah, so I'm doing that tomorrow, getting my fitting, and then Thursday I'll shoot the thing, and then Thursday night when I come in here, Friday morning I'll tell you how it went.
It nice.
It should be fun. You know.
Now we had mentioned your name on Nick's show a week or two ago because we were talking about game shows, and
yes,
you appeared on Greed. So what are some of your other screen credits? Where have you?
Malcolm in the Middle,
mm.
Short-lived sitcom called The In-Laws, Tonight Show a couple times, Greed, Russian Roulette, another game show. Actually, three game shows.
Wait, Tonight Show.
The Tonight Show, like, with like, Jay Leno.
Right, but what were you doing?
I was on there twice doing sketches.
Oh.
Yes.
Fun.
Oh, my goodness, sure. Once was here when they taped at the Rosemont Theater. I did a sketch there. And then once was in Los Angeles where I had to be topless. That's not a look. But, you know, it's always funny when fat guys don't have shirts on.
Right.
That's hilarious.
Comedy
that's,
gold.
Sure. Actually, in the In-Laws. No, that was It's All Relative. Was when I had to take my shirt off. That was the short-lived Lenny Clark sitcom. I was on a lot of short-lived sitcoms, Dan.
There's a lot of nudity, too.
Listen, I am not afraid. I'll work adult if I need to. I got to pay the bills, you know? I say no groinal. Nothing below the belt.
Is that the industry term, no groinal?
Well, that's my term. And my agent goes, that's not a thing. I said,
thing you circle. Groinal, no groinal.
Groinal, no groinal. It's, you have to put these things down. You have to, Esmeralda, you know, you got to draw a line.
Yeah,
you
of
have
course.
To have standards.
Although you have no line.
Well, I have tan lines,
yeah.
But only waist up.
Right.
If I show groinal.
If you went no groinal, you would not have.
If I went no groinal, you know, first of all.
You would have to have upkeep in the sense of, like, you probably have to tan yourself.
Tan, groom.
Fully. So
of,
you wouldn't be have tan lines.
Sure, a lot of waxing.
Sure.
Hedge clipping. Weed whacking. There'd be
so
a lot.
One of the things, is that one of the jobs you shouldn't do yourself?
Well, probably. No, weed whacking you should do yourself. Well, that weed whacking, I'm not going to hire anybody to do my personal gardening. My personal gardening is just for me. That's I'm the only one who treads in that hedgerow. You know what I'm saying? I just keep it everything nice.
Now, did anybody, did your yes? agents or anything, like when you lost weight, were they like, oh, this is going to be terrible?
No.
We need fat guys.
No, there's, oh, trust me, there's plenty of fat guys.
Oh, really? They weren't like, this is going to not go well
No,
for you.
They actually said, oh, good, now you can, you can wear a uniform, you could be a cop, you could be this, you could be, it opened up a whole world of rejection for me. I was used
good.
To being rejected in a very small niche, you know, fat jovial guy or fat angry guy. You know, that was my stock in trade of rejection. Now, I could be rejected as a dad, a cop, you know, some sort of agent, an angry politician, some sort of bureaucrat. I've got, oh man, there's tons of things I can be rejected for now. It's fantastic. And you know, plus I have to make sure I have all my lines memorized, because I never go in with my glasses on. Because it, I don't know, I've been told it changes how I look. I look much meaner, they say, and more stern without my glasses.
Ooh, it's also some big money, because you have lines.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I'm speaking in my regular voice. I might throw a little English on it. Not English accent, right. But just a little something.
Are you here? Is it set in Chicago?
Yes, it's one of the NBC episodics that may or may not have a Chicago in its name.
Oh, I only mean because then you can throw a little that Chicago South Side,
yeah,
Irish accent in there.
I'm gonna have some plans when I go in. But I also don't want to be that guy who has like a couple lines and all of a sudden becomes this high maintenance jerk.
Listen, just like go stand in the corner and say that one line.
This is my method. What's my motivation for this scene? Your motivation is you're getting paid. Exactly. How do I do it? How you want me to say it? I talked to a friend of mine who's been in a lot of different things a while ago, and I was like, hey, do you think I should take some classes, you know, for these auditions? He goes, what stuff are you auditioning for? He goes, are you auditioning for all these shows? Blah, 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 blah. I go, yeah. He goes, he goes, can you memorize two lines and say it the same way three or four times? I go, yeah. Then you don't need a class. Like, all right. Fantastic.
Now, do you think your experience giving toasts during Tony and Tina's wedding led to you being able to give a toast now at a funeral?
I think the fact that I've held more beers probably than anybody in that audition room helped me. I think the fact that as I looked at the other guys who were going out for this same part, because you sign in and I see who's going up and I'm like, you know, I might have looked more cronyish than some of the other guys. They were also auditioning a priest role, and I walked in and you could tell I could have had these three guys walk in and go, what part do you think these guys are auditioning for? And I guarantee both you and Esmeralda would have said priest. It was like, boy, how do you pick? Boy, all these guys look phenomenally like priests, you know? Whereas some of the other parts, you go, I don't know, maybe that guy could, you know, pull that off. There was no doubt with the priests. None. Like, holy cow, this is going to be crazy. So, I, you know, who knows what they, who knows? Who knows why this time, you know? And thankfully, I'm talking about it at, you know, 2:50, where I'm sure they're asleep. And since I haven't said the name, I'll say the name of the show after I actually tape it.
Yeah, we'll have to watch you.
Yeah, well, don't miss the beginning, because my scene is, you know how they do the scene before the opening credits? The teaser scene, they call it? I'm in that.
Oh, and then, and that's the thing that's like, oh, what?
Right,
and then
it hooks you in.
And then they do the titles.
That's right.
Mm, like so in Law and Order when they find the body.
Exactly.
Oh, it's the best part.
So that's, I'm hooking you early, and then, you know, I'm done, so...
And about how long will we have to wait for this episode?
Well, I think this is episode 3 or 4 of the season. So it should, I would say, early fall.
Very nice.
Maybe a nice Halloween time, something like that. I'm not sure when the season will premiere. I'll find out.
You're in good company, because Patty has done it. Her friend, comedian Paul Farvar, has done an episodic.
Okay. Very nice. Yeah, they cast a lot of people. Yeah. The thing is now, I found out that once you're on one, you got to wait a couple seasons to do another.
Hmm.
So they don't, you know, if say you're on Chicago Fire, next week I can't audition for Chicago PD or Chicago Med. I'm out. I'm out of the mix for a while. But that's all right. There's a lot of work in Chicago, and I'm busy here. All right, we have so many things to do. But Dan, you wanted this story.
That was fascinating.
It's exciting.
It's, yeah.
It is. Well, thank you, Esmeralda. It is kind of exciting. It is, you know, it'll be...
Listen. I have more questions after the break.
All right, well, we'll get to those questions then after this. All right, you have inquiries, you have questions, you have an interrogation that you want to conduct?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Two, possibly three questions, but the first one. A good friend of mine, Joe Kilgallen, was a comedian here in town. He's actually my neighbor.
Okay.
He's a comedian, and he was on an episode of Chicago Med. He played a victim of a stabbing during a pool game. A pool game got out of hand, and he got stabbed. And it just so happened that the hospital lost power that day as well. So,
oh, no.
Yes. Have you ever had to deal with, like, makeup or anything, like, along those lines? Because I've heard that's pretty hairy. And then also just, like, what's the experience like? Is it really, like, hours and hours for, like, a two-minute scene? Or is it because it's one of these hour-long episodics that are, like, let's go?
Well, the episode is scheduled to shoot for 7 days. So they're starting on Thursday with one or two scenes, and they will shoot in different on different stages. We're at an outdoor location. So where my scene is taking place in a backyard, supposedly in Canaryville. So we're off site. The rest of the show is shot on the sound stages at Cinescape, which is an unbelievable facility over at like 17th and Western, right by the Lagunitas Brewery. There's all the sound stages over there. So the worst experience I had was shooting a Prestone commercial in California when it was about 100 degrees. And I had to wear, I was a mob tough, fat guy mob tough. And I was in a black shirt, black tie, black suit in 100 degree heat. And we were out there all day. I shot a number of, there were like three commercials in this series that I shot. So we're outside and it's just hot. And, you know, I love the fact I had a woman whose entire job was to come over and mop my brow. That was her purpose in life, was to keep perspiration off my head. I felt awful for her, and yet I felt entitled that I should have a woman who's going to mop my brow. I'm in show business. That's what people in show business do. They have people do things for them that they don't want to do for themselves. Grocery shop, mop their brow, etc. Then the second commercial for that series was out in the high desert, outside north of Los Angeles, out in the desert. Again, 100 degrees, but that time I had to learn to stunt drive. We had an old Lincoln Continental with the suicide doors, you know? And part of the deal was I was supposed to drive up really fast, slam on the brakes, and hop out of this car. They said, "Do you know how to drive?" I said, "Well, yeah, I know how to drive. But I don't know how to drive and stop when there is a cameraman literally kneeling in the road." And I'm like, "Oh my God, I don't know how they let this happen." Because I'm not a certified stunt driver, but afterwards they said, "You know, you should put stunt driver on your resume now." I'm like, "Oh, sure, I'm a stunt driver. Me and Burt Reynolds." So I would have to zip up, and thank God I did not kill that guy. Makeup is never a big concern for me, because I'm not, you know, a glamour puss, and I haven't done a zombie movie yet, and I don't foresee a lot of makeup for this thing either. I don't lose an appendage. There's no no bodily injury to me, but that's that.
Maybe right, next episode.
Yeah, let's hope. I'm really hoping that I have to, one of those 5 hours in makeup stories that I can talk about where I had to breathe through a straw. All right, we've got to do the news. We'll do it after this. WGN.